Now more with Frank Gaffney.
We're back. We are joined by Ambassador Yoram Ettinger. He is an extraordinary diplomat of the State of Israel, a man of great accomplishments since he left that foreign service, but in his time during his service to his country, among other places in Washington, he became really a go-to man for the Congress, which he was a minister to a liaison with for the Israeli embassy in Washington, as well as the consul general for Israel in the southwestern United States. He has, therefore, an extraordinary acumen about what is America's interest, not just the interest of Israel, in important developments in that region. We've caught up with him in Israel, and I'm delighted to say he's prepared to share some thinking he's been doing about the president's movement of the embassy to the capital of Israel, Jerusalem. Mr. Ambassador, welcome back. It is so good to have you with us.
Thank you. My pleasure.
In a product that you generate called the Ettinger Report, Mr. Ambassador, you have recently laid out a number of very compelling reasons why it is in America's vital interest, not just Israel's, to have taken the step President Trump announced this week. Would you just quickly give us a sense of those?
Well, refraining from transferring, relocating the embassy to Jerusalem, the capital of Israel, has been perceived, and rightly so, by Arabs in the Middle East and by the world as a whole, as an American subordinating themselves to Arab pressure, Muslim pressure, threats of terrorism, which has eroded the U.S. posture of deterrence, which has had an impact on the larger context of U.S. policy in the Middle East and beyond the Middle East. And therefore, for the U.S. to eventually, hopefully promptly, relocate the embassy to Jerusalem would reinstate the U.S. posture of deterrence. In addition, we have today in the world a major decline of the Europeans. And for the U.S. to follow in the European vein, namely vacillation in face of pressure, plays into the hands of U.S. adversaries and U.S. Enemies. The U.S. is very involved in an attempt to produce an arrangement between Israel and the Palestinians to expand the Israeli-Arab peace process. But for the U.S. not to relocate the embassy to Jerusalem forces the Arabs to outflank the U.S. from the maximalist, from the radical side, which does present an additional hurdle to the peace process, which already has very slim chance of being resolved peacefully.
Yeah. Mr. Ambassador, I want to come back to the peace process in a moment, but let me just ask you about the point you just made, that it would hopefully be promptly the case that the embassy is moved. I spoke earlier in the program with Congressman Scott Perry, who's a great supporter, as am I, of this initiative of President Trump's. But I am concerned that if the embassy is not established quickly, and I would say overnight, by turning the American consulate that has been operating for some time in Western Jerusalem into an interim embassy for us, that the pressure inevitably will mount to postpone or drag out or simply scupper altogether this initiative. Would you address that proposition?
Sure. Should the U.S. Refrain from implementing this such relocation and limit itself only to the talk rather than the walk, that would, in my mind, exacerbate the damage to America's posture of deterrence, because the message would be, even when the U.S. talks the right way, they don't walk that way.
It is perceived as submission, as you say, very much the wrong sort of message to send to these characters, the Sharia supremacists.
Now, this is not only an issue limited to the U.S. posture of deterrence. U.S. posture of deterrence is critical element to ensure the survival of pro-American Arab regimes. And for the Saudis, the Egyptians, the Jordanians, Bahrain, Abu Dhabi, Dubai, to rely on a U.S. with slackened posture deterrence would once again play of the Ayatollahs and other rogue elements in the region and in the world.
Yeah, our enemies as well as Israel's. And Ambassador Yoram Ettinger, let me just ask you on that point. There has been a very important initiative, I think, mounted by our friend Dr. Daniel Pipes and his splendid organization, the Middle East Forum, to promote a different attitude, if you will, towards this whole peace process, for want of a better expression, namely that it be undertaken in the context of what I think is, frankly, the reality that Israel was victorious in its previous wars, notably 1967, and that whatever is to be discussed at this point is properly done only in the terms of its decisive victory, and that the Palestinians, and for that matter other Arabs, were decisively defeated. Could the embassy's move be seen as a step in that direction, and if so, is that desirable?
Well, absolutely. When it comes to facing rogue elements, terror regimes, there are two ways of addressing it. One way is an attempt to soothe their appetite, to appease them, to compromise with them, to commit yourself to certain concessions. But as we have learned from history, that such an option only whets the appetite, only further radicalizes those rogue and terror regimes. The other option is to deliver a message to rogue regimes that terror and war work. And in fact, it only backfires. And therefore, relocating the embassy as promptly as possible would send a very determined, very decisive message. I have no doubt that such a move would trigger barrage, a flood of anti-American talk. But in the long run, it's going to produce a very substantial pro-American walk.
Right. And in that connection, Mr. Ambassador, you're there on the ground in the Middle East. I think there's a lot of people holding their breath to see what comes out of the mosques in the Friday religious ceremonies in Israel and the Palestinian areas and beyond. Do you anticipate that some of that immediate response from the Palestinians and other Arab states will be, in fact, a new intifada, new acts of violence against Israel?
Obviously, this is an option, but once again, we cannot subordinate long-term interest to short-term convenience. And the question is, what does the long-interest strategic agreement require? And I can rely only on history. In fact, 70 years ago, when Israel was about to declare independence, our founding father Ben-Gurion was pressured brutally by the State Department and the CIA to refrain from such declaration, and their assessment was that Mr. Ben-Gurion would bring rivers of blood, of Jewish blood, upon the Jewish people. His decision was to go ahead, and it was a rational decision because he realized that there are no free lunches, and if the Jewish nation wants an independent Jewish state, then the Jewish nation must be ready to pay for that.
We have to leave it at that, I'm afraid. There's so much more to talk with you about. Good luck through this important transitional period. I hope you'll come back to us again in the very near future. Next up, Bill Gertz joins us. We'll visit with him about what's been happening in Washington's Inside the Ring right after this.
Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.